Revelation chapter 4. Maybe just throw out a thought here to you, part of a point. And Lord willing, Brian will preach tonight. I'm down in North Carolina Monday and Tuesday night preaching. I have an appointment back up here at 3 o'clock Wednesday. I'll be preaching on some more of this on Wednesday night. And I'm giving the best of it on Wednesday night. Think of me what you will. You pay the price to be here. We're going to do our best to be a blessing to you. Amen. And then on Thursday, we have to go to Dayton for my wife's uncle passed. His funeral's Thursday. So we'll be there, be praying for us. God's grace is sufficient. God's good to us. Wednesday night, I dealt with some of this. Really, verse 3 is what I dealt with on Wednesday night. Chapter 4 of Revelation and verse 3. Keep your Bibles open because we'll go to different verses here on just one point. Chapter 4 and verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. That's a semi-transparent stone. And a sardine stone. That is a sardis stone. That is red in color. So you have something that is semi-transparent and also red in color. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. That's green in color. But now let's look at the next few verses here. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I'm going to save that for Wednesday. And the best part, and out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. That comes Wednesday. And before the throne, this is today. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto what? Crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. I want to look for just a moment. I left you on Wednesday night with the throne itself. For those of you that were here, the throne is likened unto sapphire. And we dealt with the fact that from Exodus 24, where the elders were there with the priest and Moses, that under his feet, the pavement, the feet of God, the glory of God, was sapphire stone. And then from the sapphire, the blue stone, that we know that it's not recorded in the Bible, just as tables of stone when the Ten Commandments were given. But the tables of stone, the Jews believe from tradition, from the Talmud, from the Mishnah, they believe that the tables of stone, when God touched the stone with His fiery finger to write the commandments, the Ten Commandments, as recorded in our Bible, that for a sapphire to come about naturally, it is a rock in the earth that has aluminum oxide in it that is put under extreme heat and pressure. And with that extreme heat and pressure, then that rock, that stone, turns to sapphire. And the fact that God is a consuming fire, where His feet touched the throne room, it was sapphire. When His presence touched the throne, it was sapphire. Because of the fire of God. Thank God for a Holy Ghost fire. Makes us jewels. And He also told the nation of Israel. He told them what to wear. A lot of people have a hard time with that today. But He told them what to wear. And He said, when you make your garment in the fringe, put a ribbon of blue in it. Blue is the color of sapphire. In other words, He's relating back to the Word of God. Everything is based upon the Word of God. God stands on His Word. God sits on His Word. Some of you may recall this, and maybe you've forgotten. That's okay. But do you realize that you are standing and sitting on the Word of God today? Did you know that? Literally. Literally. You're standing and sitting on the Word of God. Well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Before we ever came into this place, before there was ever carpet on the floor, before the walls were ever painted and all of the sheetrock had gone up, before the sound system was in, before any of the lights hardly were in this place, when everything was still in the rough, all over this sanctuary, on a Wednesday night, we made a trip from the old building up to here, passed out Sharpies to everyone. And everyone was to come that Wednesday night with a verse of Scripture that they had stood on or rested on, or that was a life verse to them. And on the floor, underneath this carpet, is recorded the Word of God. Right here where I'm standing is Isaiah 61:1 and Luke 4:18. You can go to either one because they both say the same thing. For the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Everywhere you step in this place, you are stepping on sapphire. You're standing on the Word of God. This place is precious not because of us. It's not precious because of what even God has done for us. It's precious because it's built on the Word of God. And that's what our life should be, built on the Word of God. So we've got the throne. It's sapphire. But he gives a full description of the throne room. Not only do we see the sapphire that's there in the heavenly throne room as it faces the heavenly temple, but then we see something that comes forth from that as well. It is a sea of glass. A sea of crystal. Like crystal. It's like looking on water when the sunlight hits it. It's glass. Now, that doesn't mean a lot if you don't go any farther than that to explain it. But let me give you the explanation of what John is seeing here. If it's a sea of glass, well, what's that mean? Well, John tells us, first of all, in Revelation 15, let's go over there. Revelation 15. Revelation 15, and we'll go to verse 2. Revelation 15, 2. You have it? Say amen. And I saw as it were a what? Sea of glass. Mingled with what? Fire. There it is again. Mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So he says, on this sea of glass is a multitude of people that have gotten victory. Victory over the beast. Victory over his name. Victory over his number. What's his number? 666. I know that some interpret this to be the tribulation saints, but I think it's more than the tribulation saints, and we'll prove that to you in just a moment. These are the people that have found victory that's got a song in their heart, and they're standing on something as clear as crystal, something brighter than a diamond, and they're singing praises, not to themselves, not over the things they have overcome, but they're singing praises to the King of the saints who has brought them through everything, and they're singing the song of Moses. What was the song of Moses? They sang a victory song when they got on the other side. I don't know what you're going to do, but when we get on the sea of glass, I think we'll sing and dance and shout about and praise God on that crystal sea, because we're looking to the one that's on the sapphire throne. Well, why is that glass so important? Well, let's go back to Revelation chapter 6. And verse 9. Revelation 6:9. And let me meddle for a minute, because I'm going to mess up a lot of people's theology right here. Now, John says if it's like crystal, if it's like glass, I have glasses on. These glasses would be worthless if I couldn't see through them. Are you with me? So he said the importance of that, the heaven is a tiered city. It's a tiered place. There's levels that are there. Well, how do you know that? Well, we know the New Jerusalem, the holy city alone, will be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. You imagine that? Like going from the New England states all the way to the south tip of Florida. That's how high it'll be. What a city. That's the height of it. And the height of it is there'll be tiers that are there. Well, now he's in the temple and the throne room. And when he looks in the throne room, in the temple, he sees something inside the temple of heaven. The altar. Well, how do you know that? Verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw, look at the next word, what? Under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, he says, I look and I see the altar in heaven. Why is there an altar in heaven? Well, if you've been here and followed this series, you know why. Because the original sin was not Adam. That was the original sin on earth. The original sin took place in heaven when Lucifer rebelled and a third of the angels rebelled with him. So heaven had to have blood because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There is no cure for it. There is no stopping it. If you take the blood of Jesus Christ out, you'll die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, then you will face eternity forever, lost first in hell, then hell will be cast in the lake of fire, and you'll be there forever and ever. But thank God, God has a remedy for sin. It is in the blood. First, it was the blood of a heifer, and the blood of a lamb, and the blood of goats, and the blood of turtle doves. But then later, Jesus became the eternal sacrifice, the better sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God said was the last blood that he would ever need, because heaven had no blood. But when Jesus died and led captivity captive, he went into the very temple of God, and there on the altar laid down his own blood. Thank God for the cleansing power of the blood. And now under the altar. Now, how could he see under the altar? Because it was a sea of glass. So the tier directly beneath the altar here, it's not us. We're on top of the glass. Why? We've already experienced the blood of Christ. But see, the Jews, they're blinded. And I said I was going to mess with your theology, and here we go. There's a ton of people, hundreds of thousands of people, that believe when Jesus raptures the church, that all they're going to have to do is turn down the mark of the beast and become a martyr. And then if they become a martyr, they will go to be with the Lord. Now let's get this right. I can't even get you to stay for Sunday school and come Wednesday night. If I can't get you to sacrifice enough to come to church three times a week, I doubt very seriously if you're going to die for the cause of Christ. And second of all, even if you could, I have no assurance that anyone outside of the Jews will be converted. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. No, you show me the verse that says that. Some of you have been saying, I just won't take the mark of the beast. There's nothing, I can tell you this much, only he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, then shall the wicked one be revealed. I don't know that you'll have an opportunity to be saved. But here we are, we see the martyrs of those that died, but you don't know who these martyrs are. I'm just saying this to you. If you're trying to hang your hat on something that somebody told you way down the road, the Word of God doesn't confirm nor deny. I know that 144,000 will be saved. I know that there'll be Jewish witnesses that will come about, that suddenly their eyes will be opened to the Messiah, and they will come, but it still takes the blood. But where's the blood at then? The blood. Someone said, well, how will they be saved? There's blood on the altar in heaven. And beneath that altar are the souls of them that have died as martyrs. And they're saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And God says to them, yet a little while, your brethren must be killed also. But soon God will get his final number. And the Lord, with those that are saints, shall come back to this world again, and we will be with him when he rules with an iron rod in the mighty city of God. His foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and then those that are under the altar shall be released throughout the earth. So, let me ask you a few questions. How can you call yourself a church if you don't believe in an altar? Told you I was going to meddle with you. Let's get this right. We have altars in this church. There is no saving power at this altar. This wood doesn't take your sin away. This wood doesn't make the difference. But it is a replica or a copy of the fact that we believe there is an altar in heaven. And on that altar, the blood of Jesus Christ is there. And on that altar, when the Lord looks at us, He sees the blood instead of our sin. And it is representative of the fact that we know it takes an altar. An altar is a meeting place with God. When the blood was on the altar, then the prayers were heard. And you'll find out, with the generation that's coming on right now, they don't want altars in the church. Because to them it's offensive. That says, I've sinned. You look right here. Everybody's not going to heaven when they die. Everyone's not going to become an angel when they draw their last breath. The only ones that's going to see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up on His throne are the redeemed, those that have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and have their sins taken away by His blood. I am saved today because I have confessed that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed all my sin away. I'm saved because the blood is on the altar. And if you're saved, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, I look on it, and it's a sea of glass. Can you imagine how beautiful this will be? See, because what sets it off is he sees the throne and God is fire. And these cherubim, they're like fire. And it's like amber. It's glowing. And then suddenly there's lightnings, flashes of light that's proceeding out of the throne. What does that do when it hits that crystal that is mingled with fire? Have you ever seen pictures of the northern lights? I don't want to mess up your mind, but do you know where heaven's at? It's up. Up where? North. He hangeth it on the empty spaces of the north. That's what Job said. Have you ever seen a picture of the northern lights from NASA? If you ever look at the picture of the northern lights from NASA, right around Alaska and to the north, it is a perfect ring. What is that? Again, it is a replica of a rainbow. If you look at it, it's got every color of the rainbow in it. Can you imagine all this crystal, these red stones, these emeralds, and suddenly there's flashes of lights going off, and we're standing in the presence of it, and here we are surrounded by millions and millions as we stand on the sea of glass and the Lamb sits upon the throne. You say, preacher, I can't imagine that in my mind. Well, you're going to see it if you're saved. There's something better than this world, a better place to go. And the question this morning is, are your sins under the blood? I will say this to you. They'll come, they'll get ready to sing an invitation. I'll say this to you. I can't answer for anybody else. All I can answer for is myself. And I'm not a bully as a pastor, but there's some things that I'm going to stand on as long as God gives me breath and life. As long as God gives me strength, there will be an altar in this church. And as long as God lets me preach, there will be altar calls. Because every time I come to that altar, I remember what happened when I made an altar with God. And I remember what happened when the blood of Jesus Christ... I'm about to have a spell this morning. When the blood of Jesus Christ saved my soul and changed my life. And He doesn't love me any more than He loves you. So I'm inviting you today. Quit messing around with this thing. Quit putting it off. Get your every sin under the blood. And know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You don't know it, you can't know it. And I'm inviting you, and may the Spirit of God invite you this morning to come to these altars.